content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, January 22nd through Sunday, January 28th, 2024. The commentary for January was written by Atlanta-based author and speaker Beth Sarah Wright. She writes about developing the courage for transformation. Her book, Dignity, was the 2023 Book of the Year by the National Association of Episcopal Schools. She is married to Robert C. Wright, the Bishop of the Diocese of Atlanta, and they are parents to five children. The commentary for Monday, January 22nd, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 48. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." Ever seen a miracle? Perhaps you think miracles only look like what Jesus did in this passage, the incredible revival of health for a very ill boy. Jesus tells the boy's father after he begged Jesus to save his son, "Go, your son will live." God is a giver of life and a miracle maker in all aspects of our lives. This is the same God who wakes us up each morning, who breathes new life into dead marriages, broken spirits, and wounded souls. This is the same God who plants seeds of opportunities for hope and help and grace into seemingly infertile situations and banishes temptations and enemies by giving us the will and power to say go. With God, a once silenced laugh can now erupt from our bellies, and with God, love appears in the most unexpected places, bringing buoyant life like oxygen to our lungs. Miracles surround us every day. Look for the signs and wonders and believe. And now I'm going to read the full passage from today's scripture, John chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. Then he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had changed the water into wine. Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come to Judea, to Galilee, he went and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my little boy dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. As he was going down, his slaves met him and told him that his child was alive. So he asked them the hour when he began to recover, and they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him." The father realized that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he himself believed, along with his whole household. Now, this was the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. And the moving forward suggestion for this Monday, January 22nd, is look for miracles, big and small. And praise God. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, January 23rd. It begins with a passage also from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" A mentor of mine once said that sometimes the greatest threat to our progress lies between our ears. Those words were a revelation to me. For years, I wanted to share my writing cap, but came up with every excuse about how it was not good enough. I wanted to speak publicly, but was crippled by my own limitations. Why would anyone want to hear what I have to say? I wanted to be healthy and joyful when I was depressed, but felt I was in too deep of a hole to pull myself out. That's why I love this story from John. Jesus asked the man a simple question, "Do you want to be made well?" And the ill man responds with a waterfall of excuses. Jesus then tells him, "Stand up and walk." Simple, concise, unencumbered. And the man does. Is the transformation in his legs or in his mind? 7 books, countless speaking engagements, and an abundant, joyful life later. I know the power of a mental transformation. And now I'm going to read the full gospel scripture for this day from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethzatta, which has 5 porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is still working, and I also am working." For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, thereby making himself equal to God. And the moving forward question for this day, do you need a mental transformation? Pray for healing. And now the commentary for Wednesday, January 24th. It begins also with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." Here's the commentary. When I was growing up in Jamaica, a man who was homeless and had some physical deformities frequented the parking lot of the town's grocery store. He asked for money or food from the passersby. Many a time people completely dismissed him, looked right past him as if he did not even exist, or sometimes shouted hurtful and unkind words. I was astonished. My mother, however, always greeted him by name, and with a hug or a handshake. And so did we, my siblings and me, without question, without hesitation. In word and deed, my mother showed, by example, her belief that everyone has a story, and everyone has dignity, no matter what. Thanks be to God. And now I'm going to read the full scripture for today from John 5, verses 19 through 29. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. The Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be astonished. Indeed, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Very truly I tell you, the hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice, and will come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." And now the moving forward question for this Wednesday. Did you know that Forward Movement donates thousands of copies of this magazine I'm reading from, Forward Day by Day, and other resources to hospitals, prisons, and nursing homes? If you'd like to support this ministry, you can do so at forwardmovement.org/donate. Now the commentary for Thursday, January 25th, the day we celebrate the conversion of St. Paul. It begins with a passage from Psalm 67, verse 7. "May God give us his blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe of him." I took a poetry class once, and the assignment was to spend some time being astonished by the world around us, and then to write about it. Try it. I realized I am astonished by many things every day, that bellies are distended by lack of food in one part of the world, and too much food in another, and sometimes they live right beside each other. I am astonished when young, fertile minds are nourished to do good, and when young, fertile minds are nourished to do evil. I am astonished by God, the very fact of God, that God is. I am astonished by God's mercy, God's grace, and God's enduring love. If and when we pay attention to the world around us and allow ourselves to be astonished, to be in awe, we have so much to say and to share about God. I imagine that St. Paul was so astonished by God's mercy that he spent the rest of his life with God's story on his lips, telling it to everyone. And now I'm going to read the full psalm for today, Psalm 67. "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all of the ends of the earth revere him. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, what astounds you? How will you share that with others? Now we'll turn to the commentary for Friday, January 6th, the day that we celebrate the followers of Jesus, Timothy and Titus. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. When I was 15, I left my home in Jamaica to attend a boarding school in Edinburgh, Scotland. On a trip home, the principal at my old school asked me to speak at my school and share my experiences. I was afraid, embarrassed even, to share with my peers, and I declined. My father later taught me an important lesson. When asked to do something, even if you think it's out of your reach, say yes and figure out how to do it later. God has already put inside you what is needed to accomplish the task. Jesus asked Philip a question to test him, to test Philip's faith, to test how he would approach something humanly impossible. Philip answered as I often do, naming the practical limitations. But with God, the humanly impossible becomes divinely possible. And now I'm going to read from the scripture of this day. It is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, are you putting off an important action because it seems impossible? Remember that God has already put inside you all that is needed to accomplish the task. Now the commentary for Saturday, January 27th, the feast day of John Chrysostom. It begins with a passage from Genesis in the Old Testament, chapter 18, verses 13 through 15. The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?'" When God appeared to Moses as a wild bush, inflamed, God had a dream for him, a dream of being a savior, a dream of freedom and of parting waters. Yet even with this dream from the lips of God, doubt poured from Moses' mouth. "Who am I to lead the people out of Egypt?" When God appeared to Abraham and Sarah and expressed the dream that Sarah would bear a son in her advanced age, doubt wrapped in laughter fell from her mouth. What do you do with God's dream for you? When God whispers to a blade of grass to grow, does the blade answer, "No, not I"? Pay attention. Listen for God's dream. Embrace God's dream. Live into God's dream. Nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. And now I'm going to read the full story from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 through 16. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent of Sarah, to Sarah, and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?' At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." And the moving forward question for this Saturday, January 27th, is, what excuse do you give God? And now as we near the end of our week and the program, let's look at the commentary for Sunday, January 28th, the fourth Sunday of Epiphany. It begins with a passage called from Psalm 111, verse 1. "Hallelujah! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation." The story of our lives is made up of many chapters, and when we tell our story, we often want to hide some of the chapters, the parts we are too ashamed, embarrassed, or hurt to share. We worry these chapters will expose our vulnerabilities, our lowest moments, the parts of ourselves we are not proud of or don't particularly like. But it is in telling these parts, embracing these moments, cloaking them with the forgiveness and kindness and hope that we become whole. I am grateful for many things, for my healing and for my growth. I am also grateful for my bouts of severe depression and hard moments, because I would not be the woman I am today without them. So I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Let us embrace it all. Let us live wholeheartedly. And now we'll close out the week with a reading of Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And the moving forward question for this day, do you self-edit your story? What chapter needs to be shared? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.